Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So today is the first day of the Affordable Health Care Act, also known as the Obamacare, that's brought into law, and the Congress and the Senate are wanting to fund it. So I guess it started today. But in addition, though, they actually are refusing to fund it,
right.
Congress is. And so the government's on shutdown today.
Yeah.
Shutdown today. And the reason why, this is all together, this is a convergence. We're not telling you, like, imagine if you're in the center of something and all these little rays of information are shooting out from that one place. No, this is all overlaying light that I'm talking to you about, because this all goes together in regards to it's being organized. This is timing. Listen, God has shown me. You can go back to VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com. And you can see, you can click on prophecies, and you can see where God has shown us what's going to happen to the economy, what's going to happen to paper money, and this whole thing's being set up. And we're going to talk more about that in the first and second hour, talking about what does organization look like? What is, you know, and just because you're organizing something doesn't mean it's bad. So we're beginning to explore. But the first thing we found out yesterday, if you missed the last half hour of the extra hour yesterday, was that the tips that are being used, according to Marshall Gantz, who was being interviewed by Bill Moyer on Bill Moyer and Company on PBS, you can see the Public Broadcasting Service. You can see this on the VFN Torch. They're actually using Lucifer for tips, you know. And you may think, if you've seen the VFN Torch, it's like, oh man, they're going out there. Why would they even say using Lucifer for tips on how to organize America and the world? Really? I mean, that's the question. I mean, think about it. I mean, if somebody is using Lucifer for an epicenter of change, you got to say somebody's using Lucifer's tips, if they are or if they're not.
Right.
And I just want to say out front too that, you know, we could have put a man in a suit, you know, when they were putting together the post on the VFN Torch, and you've got to hear the first part of this conversation. But that is that when you see what's described, what Lucifer looks like, what he looks like. You know, Pat, talk to us. What has God shown you when he's showing you? Because, you know, Lord's given you the ability to see. It's interesting, the realm you see and the realm that I see. We all come together and we see. It's like, I'm glad I don't see your realm. Yeah, you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
But tell me what, you know, the things that you've seen, how the enemy, how the Lord has revealed to you the enemy in regards to Satan.
Yeah, well, several times I've seen images of, you know, demonic giants and demons and even Satan himself. I've seen, you know, lizard-like looking skin. I've seen the teeth. I've seen Satan. He's just red color with the horns coming out of his head. I mean, it's freaky stuff. I mean, I've seen it all.
Well, you think about it. You know, the world's been around for a little bit. And you didn't talk to anybody, right, that was around 1,000 years ago, right?
No, I didn't.
Are you sure now? Are you positive?
I'm pretty sure. I wasn't there.
You know, I've seen some actresses that said they were like dogs in past lives,
right,
and cats,
right,
and birds and stuff. Okay, so that means then the same one that they paint and they show and they diagram 1,000 years ago or, you know, 2,000 years ago, he's the same devil as he was. I mean, that's the way that God describes him, right? And so when you saw, no, when they were working on putting together that post for you, our listeners, to be able to read and to share, by the way, you can go to the VFN TV app, you know, and you can share it. You push a button to share in that exact segment, just that one segment, you can send it to anybody in the world. They can click on it immediately, no matter where they get on their computers or wherever, or their phones, and they begin to listen to it. So that picture, that picture is not far-fetched.
No, it's not. That's exactly what I saw.
And you look at the teeth are like shaved down to like,
yeah,
like
points. Yeah, like fangs.
Yeah, yeah, fangs, and the horns coming out like a
coming
ram.
Out of his forehead, yeah.
Coming out of his head and all that. And so, you know, I would think if I saw that, listen, if anybody in PAC can tell you, I used to go, what? Where's this AM radio stuff coming from, right?
Yeah.
I was like, turn that stuff off, you know,
yeah,
because it seemed like they were far-fetching, really, truly. Anyway, we just won't talk about it. But we want to be able to, we're not going to filter out what God's showing us.
Right.
And so you have to understand how evil Satan is. And he even looks evil. And he hates God. God, by the way, God hates Satan. And you're creating the image and the likeness of God. And Satan loves darkness and uses darkness, and he holds people captive to do his will. Do you really want to partner with this hater of God and the context of that? And do you want to use his concepts his concepts to be able to organize the earth and organize your nation. Do you really want to do that? And what we're going to discover today, as we're going to be talking about it more and more, is, you know, is America being organized? Is the world being organized? And, you know, prophetically, of course, it is going to be. And you always want to project. I mean, if you have any kind of sense of you don't want to suffer much, I mean, you always want to project, man, it's going to be real tough for those guys one day. Oh, those poor guys, you know.
Right, right.
I got a chariot that's going to swing down and pick me up. Swing low, sweet chariot. And so in the context of that, but the truth is, you know, this could be the generation.
Yeah.
This could be, if we actually were reading our Bibles and we're meditating on the Word of God and allowing God to speak to us, which according to George Barna, of course, we always say it, but you need to hear it so you move out of it. 97% really are not doing that. They call themselves Christians. And so it's okay. They're not tithing either. So, hey, listen, everything's consistent. They're not, you know, I'm not honoring God, not reading about God, not praying to God. It's like, anyway, so in the context, it's not all right. I was just being cynical. Anyway, so in the context of that, that so many things are being fulfilled so rapidly. That, you know, we can't even tell you how quickly it's happening. We're just trying to just skim the cream off the top and just say, I don't know, run for your lives. Don't get on the train, you know.
Stop.
Don't buy into the condos. They're ghettos. Don't buy into that. They're ghettos. They're like, listen, when you used to be able to buy washing powders, for example, based on what I heard, in a big, huge box, and what they found out was something like 80% of the washing powders was nothing. It was nothing. It was inert, just fluff.
Wow.
And the real stuff in there was probably maybe about 20%. I'm just roughly estimating it. And so they finally just said, you know, let's just sell it in the concentrated form. In other words, they were just selling fluff.
Right.
They were just selling fluff. And so what they did was they concentrated the washing powder. So you can get, you know, you think about, you can get a glass of orange juice and you can drink the orange juice, or you could take the lemon that was put in the water and just have just the lemon alone. So that's concentrated. It's like concentrated, which means all the lemons are together. When you hear something about concentration camps, that means we're going to bring you all together. Right. And it's going to be just like a thick batch of Christians and Jews and stuff. And don't worry about it. We're going to put guards around you and lord over you and protect you, so that you can be safe, because we created a whole storm against you.
Right.
We have people hating on you right now, and we're going to protect you from the storm that we created. And isn't that just wonderful?
Right.
You know, and with our big box of popcorn and drink. Okay, great. Oh, cool. We got condos in the camp.
Right.
And of course, it won't be, you know, the camp, you understand that just, it was just a piece of property that was set up to concentrate people. So you think about it in the context of the evil that it was, and you're reading ahead because you have the history to read. But listen, our history is not fully written yet.
Right.
And let it be said of us that we did everything within the leadership of God's leadership in our life to be the light in the midst of our generation, that we just didn't lay down, but we did like Tyndall and begin to transcribe. And we did like others who had just paid the price to be able to put the Geneva Bible together, and to the pilgrims that just, you know, push their way to a land that they could raise their hands and say, Jesus is Lord, you know, and one nation under God. And so we're going to be talking about these things, but I just want to continue the interview. When we're talking about, you know, what's going on? Is America being organized? Is America being organized? And is the world being organized? And if it is, what do we as believers, how do we respond to this? And what we ended off yesterday and the first beginning of this conversation, it's just a conversation, you know, is, and we're exploring, we're letting God just kind of lead us in this, and in understanding the context of this, we're not saying that people are bad or this going on. We're just saying, hey, this is what's going on, you know, and quite often what happens anyway, the people that are being used to do dark things, they see it, they're convinced that this is good for the good thing. And so in their mind outside of God, they're really trying to do something well, but they won't know until they know Jesus, have the light in their life that you know, my goodness, I am actually trying to be God. And so we're going to begin, you know, organizing, and organizing is not wrong. I mean, you think about it. I mean, Pat used to be a real organized person. Used to be. I mean, he had he'd take his change out of his pocket and he'd stack his quarters up, his nickels up, his dimes up, and his pennies up. And now Steve does that. I see him laughing in the background back over there, right? No. By the way, if you missed the glory, the stories about the glory of God manifesting, you got to catch them. They're on the VFN Torch, yesterday's program. God is healing. God's delivering. God still, God sits on his throne and loves you and has a plan for your life. You can find out more at the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But, you know, understand this, that, so what's going on? I mean, if it's being organized, it doesn't mean it's bad. As a matter of fact, as a leader, when you elect a president and a congressman and a senator judges, for example, get appointed and some get elected, it's the point to kind of keep things organized and keep things. So it's not wrong to I think it's kind of anal to stack your quarters. Yeah, I think it's kind of a little overboard, you know, and to iron your socks. That's a little bit too much. But hey, whatever, you know, if you just know underneath your pant leg, you got a sock with no wrinkle in it, that's totally okay.
All right.
But all humor aside, I hope that's aside, and I hope that was humor. Anyway, so are we being organized? And as we begin to look at this, you hear about the one of the men that was working on working in America for years to help organize workers and organize Americans is Marshall Gantz, and he's being interviewed by Bill Moyer on Bill Moyer and Company on PBS. And you can see this. You go to VFN Torch and go right to see this entire interview. But I want you to be able to hear again, because we're looking at and going to be talking about in detail today a book that he quotes from by Saul Alinsky.
Oh.
Isn't it interesting that Saul was persecuting the church, and then he encountered God and became Paul?
Mm.
Isn't it interesting?
That is.
He was headed to Damascus,
right,
to organize the people against people of the way. And then I made Saul.
Yeah. Interesting.
Alinsky. Anyway, so and Marshall has done some pretty cool things. And me, as you heard earlier, and you might not have caught the first part, and you need to catch it. You know, I used to be a community organizer.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the training. I've been to Applegate, California, with the Pacific Institute of Community Organizing. You know, I walked with those from Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And understand some of the context of it. So the things that are being said by some of them are just good. I mean, it's really good. They're really trying to help bring justice for all. I mean, think mm-hmm. about even with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who actually was biblically sound and constitutionally correct.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed in the context of God, of the humility before God and before man, and walked out something so powerfully. He set an example for us
mm-hmm.
as a man of God, which I believe is an apostle, that how to hold America to what's on the paper, the Constitution, while living up to the paper, which is the Word of God, under God in humility.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you can find out more about that on yesterday's segment as well. I want you to hear this. So he's talking about different ways to organize. And you can hear more about yesterday. But he's talking about social movements and social movements matter and how movements build and where Yes We Can came from. And that actually came from the Farmers Workers Union that started off in the Southwest. And Marshall Gantz was part of that, in which they had this horrific law that wouldn't allow them to be able to organize to get fair wages in that area. He's done some great things. And so here he's talking, though, about Saul Alinsky. Let's just call him Saul Alinsky.
Right.
I wish we were to call him Saul. It'll help us out to kind of get this paradigm. A book that was written called, he wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. Something like Bill Ayers and Underground, and he talks about all these in his books. As a matter of fact, I was reading it last night, just you know, going through it and just kind of getting some. And he's saying, you know, what we've learned, and that's crazy. We don't need to do that kind of stuff. What we got to do is get into the structure, get into the structure, and become the congressman, become the senator, become the president.
Right.
We got to get in there, and that's where we're going to do things. We're going to begin to change the paradigm that way, and we got to shift our organization. Organizing to the middle class, which is the bigger part of it. And as a matter of fact, we come back, I'm going to begin to hear, you're going to hear this from Marshall Gantz, and we're going to begin the conversation. Is America being organized, and is the world being organized? And if it is, how do we as a church respond to it? And we wanted to start off with where we ended off yesterday in hearing Marshall Gantz being interviewed by Bill Moore. He talks about organizers, and in the context of that, he said what community organizers do. And he talks about polarization. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about that because we're seeing a lot of polarization going on right now, and it's being very successful and polarizing. And hey, you know, if that's what they're organizing, and that's gonna, if it's a positive thing, that's one thing. But in regards to it, is we don't, as the church, we don't need to be naive. As Christians, we don't need to be naive to what's mm-hmm. going on.
Right.
So let's hear what Marshall Gantz is saying to Bill Moyer on his Bill Moyer and Company show. And you can see it in its entirety by going to the VFNTV.com, click on the VFN Torch, and then that will carry you right directly to Bill Moyer's show. Listen, this is Marshall Gantz talking about community organizers and how they do things. And notice he's going to quote from, this is what we're going to talk about today, Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. Listen up.
And I think that those of us who wanted to do more about economic justice and immigration and climate change needed to do more. We had to be contentious. That's how it works. It's like this idea that contentiousness is somehow alien to democracy. Oh, yeah. And that consensus is somehow what democracy is about, and that polarization is bad. Paralysis is bad. But, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky said, organizers have to be well-integrated schizoids because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarizing, you're never going to mobilize anything. And yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. And I think we're really screwed up on that.
And that's you're looking at the, listen to Marshall Gantz, and he's explaining about, and this is a man who's given his life, his life, and how to walk out community organizing, and he teaches it. And he teaches it at, I believe it, I can't tell you right now, but it's either Harvard or Yale. And he's gone and traveled, and he's done some real successful organizing, bringing justice to some folks and stuff. Mm-hmm. But right now, and what you would have heard earlier yesterday, that the president, who also was a community organizer, and mm-hmm. you know, I was too, that he hired him or brought him into his campaign to help him organize. Well, mm-hmm. of course. I mean, that's like we said, it's like you play for the Saints football team and you decide you're going to run for political office or something. It wouldn't be surprising to find out another player on the New Orleans Saints was actually helping you with your campaign. There's nothing wrong with that at all. As a matter right. of fact, and not only that, that you want somebody that can organize to be in your political campaign or whatever. So that was probably real wise to do that. But then you find out, you know, in the regards to, but so yeah, I mean, it looks like things are being organized, but what are they being organized for? And when you read Rules for Radicals, and I encourage you to read, it's time to begin to just don't take people's word for it. Don't take our word for it. You know, go in the Word of God. Find out yourself. Get the Quran. Read it. You know, read the Book of Mormon. You know, read Rules for Radicals. Get knowledge about what's going on. And quit just trying to get everything in sound bites and get informed. You'll be really surprised how easy it is to make clear decisions when you find out people, what's happening right now, it is in our face. It's not a secret. It's happening right in front of our face. We're being organized, it looks like. Mm-hmm. But the thing is we're being organized for good or bad. So he quotes from Saul Alinsky in his book, Rules for Radicals. But you have to understand that book, when you open the front cover of the book and look in the inside cover, it's dedicated to the very first one that ever had rebelled and in default got his own kingdom, mm-hmm. Lucifer.
All right.
So he's quoting, he's taking tips from Lucifer about how to organize. Well, that's not, you know, I mean, the church wouldn't do that. You know, Christians aren't supposed to do that, you know, in regards to, you know, those that follow Jesus.
Right.
But you think about, Satan was offering Jesus, he says, listen, I'll give you these kingdoms. Listen, I can organize a few things for you, put some things together. Mm-hmm. You know, you just about, I mean, he was trying to organize a life for Jesus, wasn't he, in the right. wilderness. I can organize this thing for you. But, of course, Jesus was loyal to God, mm-hmm. to his Father. And so we're going to begin to talk about, you know, what is this Saul Alinsky and this particular book called Rules for Radicals was written, I believe, by Saul Alinsky while he was in jail for his rebellion against society, you know, mm-hmm. government. And so when you think about, I think about when I was reading last night the book Rules for Radicals, that polarization, and we'll talk more about the basic rules here, but we'll break them down and we'll say what a rule is, and then we'll look at what does God's word say about that rule for us. Mm-hmm. Now, they can do, we're not saying that somebody can't do that, but we're going to say, what do we do as Christians? And the last thing we need to do, we got to stop doing, is telling people who are not Christians, who never said they wanted to follow Christ, trying to tell them what to do. We're becoming, you know, some historical, if you look back at religion, crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Versus, no, that's not, you know, we honor people's decision. If they say they don't want to follow God, if they don't want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, and they don't want to read the Word of God in the Bible, you just dust the dust off your feet and move on. You that's don't right. say negative things about them. You don't hate on them. You don't lie to them and tell them that God doesn't love them, because mm-hmm. God does love them. And even if they walk away from him like the rich young ruler did, it says, but Jesus still loved them. That's the message that we got to be able to carry, and that's the truth. Mm-hmm. But in the context of what happens is, and we'll talk more about it, but the world, you have to understand the word polarization, because in polarization, when you're polarized, it begins to, I mean, think about north and south would be straight up and down, and east and west is horizontal, right?
Right.
So those are exact polarizations of each other. So when you say polarized, one person is yes and one person's no. When you say polarize organizations, then you would say some organizations are north and south, and some of them are east and west. They're exact opposites. Mm-hmm. And so one of the rules you'll find out is to, in organizing a community, think about it. Even think about rebellious children who are trying to organize the family in the way they wanted to go. They will polarize the mother and the father against each other. Mm-hmm. And they'll have the mother at north and south and have the father at east and west. Mm-hmm. And then they'll play those two and they'll push them to the limit. And then they'll finally get what they want. And all of a sudden, everything's back to normal again.
Right.
That is tips from Lucifer how to bring to organize for a negative way. Mm-hmm. So it's not nothing new. It's been happening since day one. But the thing about it is, as Christians, well, you know, we have to be careful and understand that's not what we do in the context of that. So the polarization right now, what you're looking at, and people are talking about the news, and they're thinking, this is insane. They just scream at their TV, this is insane. Or they read a post, this is insane. No, it's not insane. It's polarization. It's polarization where you have America's being polarized in regards to other nations. All of a sudden, we're put at some adversarial viewpoint to the other nations in the world with the apology tour. And all of a sudden, America is the one causing all the problems. Mm-hmm. Our soldiers and our military has been polarized in regards to who they are in the context of the rest of the world. And all of a sudden, these heroes now, they're being told in some instances, in some case, that they're actually were causing problems. And they're the ones that just listened to the direction of the leadership and went and served the commander-in-chief, you know.
Right.
But now they're polarized. Then you look at marriage, and marriage is polarized. Well, you have some people that say marriage is this, and some people say marriage is that. And it's like, listen, this is what an organizer wants. An organizer's success is when things do get polarized. This is a great environment for chaos and confusion where someone comes in and begins to say, okay, here's the new order. Here's a new world order. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Here's a new order. Let's just come in. And when you have wars, when wars happen, boundaries change, borders change, governments change, the DNA of how things operate change. And so that the climactical point of organizing, there's conflict. And that's what Bill Gantz was talking about. That's what, if you listen to the first part, that's what he was talking about in the context of that. He said there's contention. Well, you know, that proverb says where there's contention, there's pride. And so in the end of this interview, and we're not going to play the end of this interview, but you can see the whole interview by going to vfntv.com, click on the torch and just watch it. it'll carry you right to Bill Moyer's direct broadcast of it, is he says, if you're not for yourself, who will be for you?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's, and he says, and if all you are is for you, then what good is that?
Right.
What good is that? And so then why not be for you and for others? And the truth is, as Christians, we're not for ourselves. We deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow mm-hmm. the Lord. And we're for him and for others, but we deny ourselves. So it's not about, and that's the big thing. You know, most people buy into these community organizing, and when it's used in the evil way, because I get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I get something out of this. What's in it for me? And with that, that's twisted, because now you're looking at pride.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at pride, and pride comes before
a fall.
And so America's being polarized, religion's being polarized, the Middle East is being polarized, Israel and Islam's being polarized, and our health is being polarized with the Health Care Act. All is being polarized. We're going to talk more about this in the extra hour. You got to catch it. We're going to continue this conversation and get into the meat of this polarization. So we're continuing the conversation about, is America being organized? Is the nation, is the world being organized? And if it is, what do we do? How to respond as Christians? And do we change the world? Do we change ourselves and be the light that God's called us to be in it? Also, in the news today, today is Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, is going to the United Nations to speak today. Last time he went, I believe, to the United Nations, he was talking about a bomb. He drew a cartoon caricature of a bomb
mm-hmm.
and said that when they get to this line, when Iran gets to this line, then that's when it's gone too far, and right. we have to react to that. The red line.
Red line, yeah.
And then since then, the red line has been talked about to the point where they say that our president, America, has drawn a red line
mm-hmm.
in regards to Syria and the chemical weapons. And all of a sudden, everything was pushed to the point where we have presently, based on my understanding, we have battleships in the Mediterranean on the west coast of Iran, of west coast of Israel and Syria, of because we were going to, based on what our president was saying and what our Secretary of State was saying, that we were going to bomb Damascus. And reportedly, and what God had given me, and you got to go back and listen, because mm-hmm. the Lord had given me before it happened, the time it was going to happen, what he was going to say, and this is going to happen, right?
Yeah, sure did.
And so today, Israel, Jacob, is speaking to the world. That's what the United Nations represents. All the nations are gathered together. Remember mm-hmm. the Valley of Jehoshaphat. All the nations will be gathered together in the Valley of Decision to be judged at Jehoshaphat. So all the nations are gathered together here in the United Nations for Jacob, the Prime Minister of Israel, to speak. And I don't know what it's going to say. I mean, it could be speaking as we're talking right now, because maybe somebody can pull it up. But in the context of that, yesterday, I believe it was, he met with President Obama in the White House. And so you have President Obama and the Prime Minister of Israel meet in the White House, Prime Minister Netanyahu, about what is going on in the directions and about Iran. But at the same time, what Prime Minister Netanyahu was saying, we're talking about, this is all part of the conversation here. This is all part of the conversation. Is the world being organized? Is America being organized? Remember, America's 5% of the world's population. While he's talking to Jacob, the one who's threatened to take Jacob out, while he's talking to Israel, the one who's threatening to take Israel out, who part of their actual constitution, if you would, or their makeup in the supreme leader's makeup and what they're made up of in Iran is to destroy Jacob, to destroy Israel. And so while he is sitting in the White House, while America is sitting in the White House talking to Israel, we have battleships floating off the West Coast with guns pointed supposedly 90 miles north of Haifa, which is Haifa's in Israel. So Damascus, I mean, you're looking at just micro turning of a barrel to turn to Israel. So we actually have Israel surrounded on the West Coast. Iran has it surrounded on the eastern borders. And Syria and Lebanon on the northern borders. You have Egypt on the southern borders down there. You have the whole Arab Spring surrounding it with the Arab League. And we're partnering with them. We're shaking the hand of the president of Iran, or at least sticking her hand out, and they're rejecting us. But now we're actually writing letters back and forth. The news is reporting to, you know, Persia, to Iran. In the context of that, now we're sitting with, my goodness, it looks like even Israel's being organized. It looks like the world, and potentially led by our own president, that he's organized Israel. He's polarized Israel. Mm-hmm. He's polarized the Arab Spring. He's polarized Iran. Okay, they've got nuclear weapons. We're not going to do anything about it right now. Mm-hmm. He's polarized Assad, northern parts of the border right there. He's polarized the Muslim Brotherhood that's totally against Israel's existence. He's polarized the whole area. He's organizing Israel,
right?
Mm-hmm. Because you got to have contention, Marshall Gantz says, to be able to push them beyond the limits so that you can settle. And he goes, after you polarize, then you depolarize and you settle. This is the thing about it. Let me tell you this. And we're talking about the church perspective is you don't use Lucifer's tips for organizing. You're partnering with the devil when you do that. You're partnering with Satan against God, the apple of God's eye. It's not going to end up with those same techniques that worked in a neighborhood, that worked in a city, are not going to work against Israel. God is going to backlash that, and he's going to come back and just whack any nation that tries to put their hand and think that you can push Israel into complying with anything outside of God's will.
That's right.
And so, but that's your, you have a polarization. And so it's helpful to understand, and the way that Marshall Gantz puts it, he says, and I believe that he's even quoting Saul Alinsky in Rules for Radicals. He says, you have to be schizoid. And you can find out the definition of that. We got all these different words, but schizoid, in other words, you got to be up yes and no at the same time. And you look at the president, and the president truly is a community organizer, and he's president. And by the way, and as Christians, we need to honor him as the president. We need to honor him. Even Paul in chains stood before the king and honored the king as king, and even talked about his accomplishments. And there's been some major accomplishments that our president has done and needs to be honored for that. And then he began to hopefully share the light with him that he would be one. But just speaking against our president, you know, it's ungodly to be able to do that in the context of that. But you share the truth in regards to the light, and you can do that in America. But if it weren't in America, you still would have to do it because of the First Amendment. But you can do it in a way that honors. And so we're looking at a community organizing concept, according to Marshall Gantz, according to Sal Alinsky, according to the practices that I learned, is that you first have to polarize everybody. And so, mm-hmm. and it's like, wait a minute, Israel's being polarized. Egypt got polarized. Syria's being polarized. I mean, every place except Iran is being polarized.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And China's being polarized. The New York Stock Exchange got polarized. The banks got polarized. They became the enemy. The Catholic Church got polarized when they started talking about, you know, they can't pay for abortions in the healthcare bill. Mm-hmm. I mean, they totally changed the argument at that point. Healthcare, now the people that have healthcare and don't have healthcare, they became polarized and they were like put against each other. Mm-hmm. Christians are being polarized against people who are not Christians. Democrats are being polarized against Republicans and whatever other parties they have out there. These other conservative, I mean, everything's being polarized in this huge contention. Well, the next procedure, according to one of the master organizers, Marshall Gantz, is once you get that contention going and you push things to their limit, he says, then, that's THEN, then you depolarize and you settle.
Right.
And you think about it, that in negotiating, when you're negotiating with people, that's just kind of a normal thing. It's not an abnormal thing in regards to, you know, shoot for the stars and land on the moon. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't go in there to your boss and say, in the context of it, if it's within the means of it and you're a good employee, you can, you know, say, hey, you know, if you're really needing to walk out of there with so much an hour or so much in your salary to be able to take care of the family's needs and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, there's a chance you, that your boss is a negotiator and says, you know, he's gonna, he or she's gonna need to feel like they've had some input in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you would ask for more,
right?
You know, and sometimes just because you need something doesn't mean that God doesn't want to give you more. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with you having more than enough.
Right.
One of his names of God is more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
But then you settle down. It's like, okay, well, your boss is going, well, I guess that whatever, not so bad at all. Right? And, or you may have to leave. I mean, you may have to leave your place of employment because you're not making enough money. And so you tell them or her, you say that I need this amount of money to be able to take care of my family, and this is going on and whatever. And if you can't do this, I totally understand that, but I'm going to have to change my place of employment. I can no longer make widgets for you or make money for you anymore. Mm-hmm. Well, that is a big polarization, and you're pushing the whole thing beyond its limit, but that could be your reality. You may have to go find you something else that meets your financial needs because maybe that business can't do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden it causes that boss maybe to look into his or her finances more than they ever looked before. And they realize, wait a minute, I'm spending a lot of this money on boats and cars and stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I really need this lady or this man that's done so well, you know, I'm willing to forego. And all of a sudden that causes them to look at areas of their management of the finances of their business they never did before. To make a yay or nay decision in the context of that, which mm-hmm. either one of them can do that in the context of that. That's not a negative thing because the boss could say, hey, take a hike. Nice knowing you. See ya. Great.
That's all right.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Yeah.
And if you weren't honest, then you know, you're going to have a bruise in your butt because the door's going to hit you on the way out.
Hard,
you know?
Yeah.
And but then again, that tension caused him or her to kind of look into it. But when you begin to use that tension in an evil way, when you try to use it to organize against, to destroy the business, to begin to only think about yourself, to unionize to the point that you're going to struggle and you're going to suck this business and corporation dry just mm-hmm. so you can have your benefits.
Right.
Now you're looking at a demonic movement taking place and mm-hmm. it's meant to destroy. But when all the cards are on the table, it's not. So I'm not saying that organizing is wrong, but organizing for the wrong reasons. If you're using tips from Lucifer, pretty much guaranteed this is not good. And you're openly saying that. And so one of the statements in, because he quoted in from the Rules for Radicals and Saul Alinsky's book, and he talks about in his book, one of the statements in his books, he says talking about Marxism, mm-hmm. he says, you know, Marxists begin, you know, Marx, he began with the prime truth of that all evil is caused by the exploitation by those who are capitalists. So he polarized immediately and said, okay, those that are being exploited, as the North and South,
right,
the East and West of that is capitalism. So he's polarizing those two aspects of it. I'm just reading a little quote from Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. And from this he logically proceeds to a revolution to end capitalism. So now everybody's been polarized, and this all of a sudden now capitalism is our enemy. Now all the other folks that were North and South, they're going to come against the East and the West. Then he says, then he carries it into the third stage of reorganization into a new social order of a dictatorship over the people. Uh-huh. So first he polarized them.
Mm-hmm.
He got them to fight amongst themselves. The word devil means one who gets in between and divides, by the way, the root of the word. It brings division.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord hates those who cause discord.
That's right.
And so then the mindset of that kind of organization was to cause discord to the point where they begin to contend and fight. And then all of a sudden, as they're fighting and they're defeating each other, then all of a sudden a dictator would come over them. That's what he's saying. But listen to this. This is the final outcome. And finally, the last stage, political paradise, the political paradise of communism. Marshall Gantz just quoted from Saul Alinsky's Lucifer tips,
right,
about ultimately communism. Communism is the rejection of God, where government is God and man has the ability to the utopia, the paradise, the political paradise of communism. And we saw communism. We saw firsthand, you know, we had a Wendy's commercial you could see on on the VFN Torch where they would have this lady come out and she had this gray prison gown looking thing on, right. Just gray blah. And it was a fashion show in a communist nation. And so she walks out on the model runway and it's, you know, they said, and the person's announcing and you have all these Russian generals in the audience down there, you know, and they're mm-hmm. plotting, you know, very orderly according to the dictator. And they said, and next evening there. And next day there. And so, which is day where. And so she marches out in that gray dress with just blandness.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like everybody's applauding, yay, walking down the catwalk of a model. And then, and she was thick like me, by the way. And then she comes back, probably like, anyway, so then she goes back, and then he comes out and he says, and next evening there. And then the same lady comes out with a flashlight. You know what I'm saying?
With the same clothes on.
The same clothes on, right? And everybody's like, yay. Well, what they were really saying is, that's communism.
Right.
That's how it ends up. Mm-hmm. If you pull God away, I mean, just go look at the difference between the Dominican Republic and Haiti. It's the same piece of land, but the only thing that divides them is where Haiti said no to God, and their founding, what happened was they made a pact with the devil. And you go to just cross over the border there to the Dominican Republic, and all of a sudden you got green plush, mm-hmm. everything. It's like,
totally different.
It doesn't work. I think 50% of the population of Haiti now, I think, is 17 years old and under.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying? And just, and it's like the answer to that darkness is light, mm-hmm. is bringing in the light. And there's a lot of stuff too that didn't just happen. But so communism is not good. So for us as the church, by the way, Christians, hello. And that's what we're talking to is like, what perspective do we have? And the perspective that we have is that we don't want to promote an effort that takes away the republic for which we stand, mm-hmm. because it allows us the First Amendment rights to be able to worship God freely. That's why we got here. If you have not yet heard America, how we got here and how we stay here, you got to find out. It was the word of God in the hands of men who met the God of the Bible, who understood that you can be one nation under God if you know God. But if you don't know God, you got to be one nation under a king or a tyrant or something, because there's no rule. And so we don't want to lose this. Mm-hmm. And so there is, communism is not a utopia. I mean, look at Gorbachev and what happened. And, you know, when the walls came down, they were just trying to come out of that. Their whole economy crashed and everything.
Right.
I mean, it's like we're going right into where other people in the nations are going, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? That's what they're saying. They're like, what are you doing?
Right.
We know we wanted to become like you, and you're trying to become like what we're trying to get out of. And what it is, understand, it's not a logical thing. It's God turning a nation over if we don't humble ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that we have Jehoiakim presently leading us, which means God set man. God put a man in place to be able to take us and humble us as a mm-hmm. nation and adjust us. And man, we are being humbled rapidly,
man, are we?
As a nation. And if you see Josiah, Jehoiakim, Zedekiah, and Nebuchadnezzar, you kind of see our future if we don't repent. As a matter of fact, you can go to VFN TV and listen to Josiah.
Mm-hmm.
We are Josiah. You can listen to that and get a perspective of what's really going on in the context of that. And so here we have, so this organization, this organizing that's going on, and he's quoting from Rules for Radicals from Saul Alinsky. And so we want to find out what that is. And when you think about it, he says, and this is what he also says in his book, and Robert, and I always want to call it Robert's Rules of Wars, but it's actually Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Which is interesting. Rules for Radicals is kind of an oxymoron. Anyway, so right. Rules.
I just got that. Okay.
Yeah. Because he realized that Satan realizes that if we don't all get along in this evil, it's just not going to work.
Right.
But he was in jail while he was writing it, reportedly. So he goes on to write, he says, an organizer working in, this is what he says, an organizer working in and for an open society. Remember that. An open society is in an ideological dilemma to begin with. He doesn't have any kind of fixed truth. Truth to him is relative and changing, and everything to him is relative and changing. To the extent that he is free from the shackles of dogma, he can respond to the realities of the widely different situations. In other words, there is no yes and no, there is no truth. And so you think about that. And so I want you to remember open society, because that's what we're, that's where things are going. And it is shocking how fast it's going there, because it looks like, from as we're beginning to see, possibly we're being organized.
Mm-hmm.
Israel's being organized. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers, because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right, the VFM radio program. Just that you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.